Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. The Hollywood box office is on a hot streak we haven't seen since before the pandemic. Is it here to stay? Let's check in with KCBS in the Bay Area. And then we'll talk to Ken Burns about his patriotic new documentary.
Travis Knox, associate professor at Chapman University's Film School and director of the Creative Producing Program. You know, for years, or at least in recent years, we've been told, you know what? The theaters are dying and dead. Streaming is the way that we watch first-run movies now. But is there a chance people are getting streaming fatigue?
Well, from a financial standpoint, you know, they call it churn, where you join Paramount Plus for 30 days, watch everything, and drop it again. People are getting tired of now having to have six or seven subscriptions that they have to subscribe to. Also, I heard the other day the average person takes 20 minutes to figure out what to watch. I don't know so much, again, if it's fatigue. I think people like communal experiences. I think putting something original that a certain target audience wants to go see is going to bring them out. And also, we do have a variety of movies, or I should say a larger variety of movies this year than we've had. It's the most since we've come out of the pandemic.
So much has been said about the young directors behind these blockbusters. You've got Curry Barker of Obsession is 26. Kane Parsons just turned 21 days ago from Backrooms. Is there an interest maybe from the younger generation?
I don't know if it's director specific in that they're dying to see something made by that person, but it feels like it's their own. You know, Backrooms in particular, this is their thing that they can latch onto that's not nostalgia and like going to Minecraft or Mario. It's something that to them it's original and fresh.
I wonder if maybe we're just returning to normal.
I think it's a lot of that for sure. The problem for movie theaters is that they've kind of done the wrong thing in the sense that they have just, there's so many more screens now than there were 30, 40 years ago. But on the inverse of that, there's so many more options. Good storytelling is on TV. Like I get asked to do this presentation once in a while about streaming. And so I take it through the decades. And if you look at 1980, there were 17,000 movie screens in the U.S., and there's only about 80 original scripted TV shows. And the fact that blows especially students' minds is when I mentioned the number one show in 1980, you may remember it was Dallas. One out of three homes watched that live at the same time. And if you flash forward going into the pandemic in 2020, we had 41,000 screens. So from 17,000 to 41,000. And yet we had almost 500 original shows. And there's good storytelling on TV now. And I think anybody that really pays attention to streaming, there's a much higher quality.
You can't talk about good storytelling without adding two words. Ken Burns. Here he is on KCBS. He's talking about his series, The American Revolution, on PBS.
What do you want them to know before they go into it?
Nothing. We make our film for someone who's curious, but perhaps ignorant of what went on. We make no assumptions. We're aware of the fact that what we have collectively been taught, not just in school, but what sort of seeps in the conversation is woefully inadequate, that it's very superficial. It's sort of the revolution is encrusted with the barnacles of sentimentality and nostalgia, that it's a kind of bloodless gallant myth. We accept the violence of our Civil War and all the 20th century wars, but I think trying to protect the big ideas that happened in Philadelphia in 76 and then 11 years later with the Constitutional Convention in 1787, that we think that somehow it might be diminished if we communicate just how bloody this revolution and also civil war and also global war was. But that was our mission, to try to tell it. So I think that you don't have to come in with anything other than an open mind, which is exactly what folks have done. And I can report that the last, you know, eight months of it being out there, streaming and broadcast, have been, you know, tens of millions of Americans across, you know, all areas have been watching it. And it's been really gratifying to see the response. And I think, as you indicated, as we approach the 250th, particularly in difficult times, that it's important maybe to go back to the origin story and figure out what we were originally about and what we may still be also about going forward.
You know, it was 250 years ago today, June 11th, 1776, that Congress appointed five founding fathers to draft the Declaration of Independence. Do you think they knew the enormity of what they were creating at the time?
You know, it's really hard to say. There had already been in January this slender pamphlet called Common Sense, written by an Englishman named Thomas Paine, that had basically said, it's not Parliament, it's the king. You know, a lot of the colonists felt this is just a disagreement with Parliament. They're protector of the king. King will help them. And he goes, no, hereditary succession is an abomination that nature abhors, that not since the time of Noah do we have a chance to get it right. And this slender pamphlet, the most important pamphlet ever written in American history, helped switch people from the sense of just sort of working out their grievances to separating. They knew they had to make an internal document for Americans to sort of put forth their arguments to inspire them. And they also knew that they had a kind of geopolitical argument. They knew they couldn't do this alone. They had been fighting for 14 months, and they needed help. And the best help on the horizon was the French, which is a kind of improbable help. They'd been at war with Britain many times over the prize of North America, but they're a Catholic monarchy, much more repressive than the British constitutional monarchy. And to convince a Catholic king to essentially support a republican revolution against another monarch, which would, of course, doom the French monarchy, is a big stretch. So they needed a document to say, first, we're serious about this. We're going to try to come together. And then they needed a victory, which they're not going to get until the following fall at Saratoga in 77, where they defeat a British army and the French are all in, and we don't win it without their help. It's an important document, but at its heart are the poetic second sentence of the thing. I think the second most important sentence in the English language after "I love you," enumerating what had not been enumerated, the creating what had never been created before: citizens, not subjects, and people interested in their own self-government, a free and apart from the trappings of authoritarianism and monarchy.
Ken, I wonder what parallels you draw between the revolutionary period and today.
Well, I think, you know, Mark Twain said that history doesn't repeat itself. And of course, he's right. No event has ever happened twice, but it rhymes, he said. And so I think we're always going to find rhymes. Human nature remains the same. And what we do as filmmakers is we try to discipline ourselves, prepared for the fact that this will rhyme at different times, at different places, but to not play to them, because of course, the current moment always changes. I began work on this film in December of 2015, when Barack Obama still had 13 months to go in his presidency. If you spend any time sort of trying to point neon signs at how isn't this so much like today, you know, in another year, it's different. You know, there's the wife of a German general who worries while she's making the transatlantic crossing that she's heard that Americans eat cats. Now, if my film had come out a year before in the fall of 24, that was the argument, that there were immigrants eating cats. It would have been, oh, you put this in because of that. And I, you know, when we looked at it in the editing room and gulped, I said, it'll be a year later and no one will remember. And nobody has said anything. I've had to comment it like it I just did. So I think it's just to be armed with the complexity of human nature and the complexity of the past in general and the complexity of our revolution specifically is to arm ourselves in the best way for the present moment with all its challenges and complexities.
Based on your historical knowledge and observations of current times, is there hope for the survival of democracy in America, or are we doomed?
We are not doomed. It is an incredibly fraught existential moment, but we were far more divided during our revolution. Remember, it's a civil war. A huge part of the population was loyalist, and understandably so. And I think we have to sort of get over the narcissism of the present moment. We were way more divided during the Civil War, certainly in the post-Civil War period known as Reconstruction. I'm working on a film about that right now, and certainly during the Vietnam period. So we have to take a deep breath and just continue to exercise the levers of citizenship in order to ensure the continuation of our now 250-year spectacular experiment, not without its problems.
Ken, I've heard that most democracies through history have lasted 300 years, and here we are at 250.
Well, I'll buy another if this buys us, if that's true, and it buys us another 50 years, I'll take it. It's the same question as before. And that means that there is a sense of concern and anxiety. What that can't be turned into is sort of apathy and paralyzation. It has to be transferred as our colonists do. I mean, it was mostly dark. Washington lost most of the battles, and yet they continued on. He lost 500 officers who deserted at Valley Forge, where people stayed. And it wasn't just one group of people. It was recent immigrants from Ireland and Germany. It was militia people from the New England and the South. It was free and enslaved Black people. It was many different Native tribes all fighting together for this brand new, untested idea. It's never going to be tough, and democracy is not a passive word, it's an active one. So we can waste a lot of energy anxiously worrying about it, or we can direct some of that anxiety towards action.